We're still talking about overcoming grace. Say overcoming grace. God has released to us extraordinary grace, and this grace causes us to overcome. It's an overcoming grace. It's a grace that allows us to exercise and see victory over every challenge. In John 16, verse 33, it says this. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage." So Jesus has spoken words to us and has given us his word so that we can have peace in him, even though in the world there's tribulation. There is no avoiding the tribulation, because he says you have, meaning it's a fact of the matter. A lot of times as believers, we would like to avoid challenge, avoid tribulation, but by nature of being a believer, we are actually placed in the position to face and overcome tribulation. And so that's why Jesus said we must take courage. Remember, courage must be taken. It must be received. Courage is available to us, but we have to receive it. We have to actively receive courage in order to face the challenges that are trying to discourage us. Then he says, "I have overcome the world." Say, "I have overcome the world." Say it again with confidence. Say, "I have overcome the world." Now, Jesus was speaking and saying, "I have overcome the world," but we are in Christ. The scripture says that we are in Christ once we become born again. It's in him we live and move and have our being. And because we are in Christ, we have overcome the world. The thing that you're facing, you've already overcome it. And so what you are doing now is walking out the process of allowing that overcoming reality to be your reality in the earth like it already is in heaven. And so last week I talked about prophetically one of the things the Lord said to me about 2025 is that this is a time of God's goodness, that we must believe and attach our faith to see and experience the goodness of the Lord. David said, "I would have fainted unless I believed I would see his goodness in the land of the living." And so in this season, we have to believe that we're going to experience the goodness of God. See, we can't be like Martha when Lazarus was raised from the dead. Because when Jesus came, she approached him and she said, "I know I will see him again at the resurrection." So she was putting her faith in a later reality. But then Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And so he was saying, yes, that later reality is true, but there's a right now reality that you can tap into. And so as believers, we have to be conscious when we are facing challenges. Yes, we see the goodness of God at a later time because that's a later reality. But there is a right now reality of God's goodness that we can tap into that will flood and overshadow every challenge and manifest the overcoming grace. And so another thing that the Lord told me is about the number 25, and I shared last week that the word 5 symbolizes grace. It's a Hebrew word, hey. It symbolizes grace, revelation, and divine presence. The number 20 is the word kaf, which symbolizes covering, palm, or power. And when you combine both of those words, it spells the word ko, which means thus or so, often used in scripture to introduce a divine declaration such as, "Thus saith the Lord." So during this time, we will see what God has decreed to happen will happen, but also it is a time for us to decree a thing and watch it be established. It is time for us to speak some things that are in alignment with what God is speaking so we can see the reality. And so last week I shared how we, from Mark 11, how we have to speak in faith. And how when Jesus was teaching them about a storm, he spoke to the wind and the waves. And Jesus did not ask the Father to deal with the storm, he dealt with the storm. Because remember, there are times that God answers our prayers in advance. And he said that in Isaiah 65 and 24, and said, it will come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. Some of the times, some of the ways that God answers in advance is through us understanding the benefits of our covenant. Because we have certain things available, because of the covenant we have through Jesus, there are certain things we don't have to pray for because it was already answered. We don't have to ask God for a thing that he's given. We just have to receive what he's given. And then other times, I believe, when he answers in advance, is through the giving of authority. So he's given us authority. He's given us power. And so instead of praying for God to do a thing, we are to release that power that he's placed upon us. Remember when Peter and I forget who in this moment, who else was with him, when they healed the man at the gate called Beautiful. And he says, such as I have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. He didn't say, Father, make this person get up. He says, what I have possession of already is what I'm going to release to you. And then he commanded him in the name of Jesus to get up, and he got up and walked. So one of the ways that God will answer us in advance is through authority, through covenant benefit. And so today we're going to look at another storm, another way that Jesus demonstrated how to deal with the storms of life. Because like I was saying earlier, before this teaching, I totally understand challenges. I understand we start dealing with stuff, and it seems like challenges come like one after the other. It's like the pacing of the challenges has been picked up. It's like as soon as you finish one thing, here's the next one. And then some of us have been dealing with challenges where it's almost like all at once. It's like Paul was saying, I'm pressed on every side. It's like everywhere you go, it seems like you're dealing with something. And all of these challenges are meant to try to crush you and get you out of posture. They're trying to get you to the point where you're mentally and physically exhausted. They try to get you to the place where you just want to go to sleep. I mean, rest is important, but it's trying to get you to a place where you're so exhausted you can't do anything but rest. It tries to push you to a place of agitation, so when you're interacting with people, you're snapping at them and doing all those things. Or even isolation, where you just don't want to be around nobody. It's like, I'm going to put my phone on do not disturb. I'm not getting on social media, I'm not watching TV, I just want to be by myself. And so all of those things are attacks that come to you because you carry something that is needed. You carry a word from the Lord. You carry the glory of God. The Bible says that there's treasure in these earthen vessels. So regardless of how you think you look in the mirror, where you think, man, my haircut isn't just right, or I don't feel like I look the way I want to look, God has deposited treasure in you. And the minute you decide to allow what is in you to come out, you're going to face some challenges. If you sat down and did nothing, you wouldn't have to deal with anything. But then who would miss experiencing God through you? And so these challenges have a purpose. Their purpose is to try to destroy you. And if they can't destroy you, their purpose is to get you out of posture or to get you so busy that you can't focus on what God is telling you to do. I call it the zigzag effect. You know how when David went out to war and he came back and Ziklag had been burned down? That's what the enemy does. He tries to hit you when he thinks you're not looking, tries to attack you so you can't be about your father's business. And so I'm going to show you an example in Matthew 14 of how Jesus dealt with storms. We saw one example last week, and we're going to see another one this week. Now, remember this, when we are facing challenges, we have to discern a few things. We have to be very intentional. Because by faith, we have to discern when to ask God to do a thing. We have to discern when to thank God for what he's already done. And we have to discern when to decree a thing, then thank him for the enforcement of that decree. Because every challenge requires a different posture. Now, there's going to be one common posture, which is humbling yourself before the Lord and walking by faith. But every challenge cannot be solved the same exact way. Now, remember, when Israel was taking a promised land, they had a strategy for Jericho. And that same strategy, they, even though it worked in Jericho, God didn't tell them to do that again for another city. So you have to know that what I'm sharing with you, as we hear this word, the Lord is going to speak to us and tell us specifically what we are to do in this season so we can experience the overcoming grace that's been released. And then the next challenge comes is not like a set formula where I'm going to do A, B, C, D again, and that's it. We have to listen again for the instructions for that season. That's why he takes us from glory to glory, faith to faith. You guys hear me? And so in Matthew 14, we're going to see a different way that Jesus approached storm than what he modeled. Last time he spoke, he was in a posture of rest, and then he spoke. This time we're going to see something different. So Matthew 14, I'm going to start at verse 22 from the New American Standard. It says, immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. Now, this is after Jesus fed 5,000 or more people, because it says 5,000 men, besides women and children, with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. So the disciples had just participated in something miraculous. Because there's no way 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread is going to feed 5,000 people plus women and children. Because here's the thing, 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread might feed one person. Maybe two if they're really being intentional. So God had just done something supernatural, and the disciples participated in it. Now, after that, Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, here's the thing that we have to recognize, that sometimes storms and challenges can come right after we've seen a victory with God, right after we've seen a move of God, right after we've experienced something powerful. Now, all of a sudden, boom, something hits. Some people try to call it backlash and all of that. I just call it a distraction and an attempt at misalignment. Because it's like we just did something powerful with God. It's like, man, God is moving. We're excited. Then boom. It's like you fast and then get off of fast and all of a sudden something happened. You led somebody to the Lord, you know, was talking to them, they're accepting Jesus. Then boom, something happened. Or God told you to do something, now all of a sudden something break down. Or you get an unexpected expense. And so all these things start happening, and it's not because, a lot of people say, well, the devil's mad and he's attacking me. It's because you are advancing and driving the enemy out. Remember, spiritual warfare is more offensive than defensive. As believers, because we are advancing the kingdom. We're taking territory. We're exercising dominion. And that means what used to have dominion is being driven out and uprooted, so it doesn't have dominion anymore. So he sent them away. He sent the crowds away, had the disciples get in the boat ahead of them. And it says, verse 24 says, The boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. A lot of times in life, we can feel battered by what's happening. We can feel like we're taking hits. We can feel like we're being physically and mentally abused by challenges because it seems like they just keep hitting us. Because we're going contrary to culture, contrary to the world system. And then it says, at the fourth watch of the night, he, talking about Jesus, came to them walking on the sea. Now, a lot of people will get real religious right there and be like, Jesus will come to you. Jesus will run to you. I want you to understand this in context. Jesus had to come to them because he was in flesh. God is with us through the person of Holy Spirit. He doesn't have to come to us because he's already with us. You understand what I'm saying? So I never want you to feel like while things are hitting you, that you gotta, like, you call to Jesus like he's afar off, because he's not. He's with you. He's a very present help, especially in the time of trouble. So he's walking on the sea. One version says he was gonna pass them by. One account of this. But it says the fourth watch of the night. Now, it was very interesting because the fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. You ever had them times when Jesus wake you up at 3, 3:30, 4 in the morning, and you like, what? You don't even want to get out the bed to pray because you're so tired, and you just do one of those, thank you, Jesus, and then try to roll back over. I remember I had a season where God was waking me up every day at exactly 3:30. One time it was 3:33. And I was like, okay, Lord. I was like, we know my awake time is 6:30, from 6:30 to 7:30. Anything before that, it got to be you. So he woke me up, and one time I said, okay, if you wake me up again, I'm going to go ahead and get up. I'm going to go to this encounter room. And I'm going to pray and listen. He woke me up again. So I had to be true to my word. I got up, freshened up, went into my encounter room, and sat and waited. Now, sometimes you may think in those moments he woke you up early in the morning, and he's about to speak something super profound to you, and you're going to have a notebook full of revelation, or I use a Word doc, a whole page on my Word doc full of what God's about to say. Sometimes he wake you up, and it seems like he didn't even say anything. It's like you woke up and you sat, and it's like, okay, I feel myself fighting to stay awake, but what's up? Could it be that he just drew you close to him and that he just wanted to spend time with you? And could it be that he woke you up that early because he's intentional, that was the time he wanted to spend? A time when your mind isn't busy, your phone isn't blowing up. So he was coming at that time, walking. Now notice Jesus was walking on the water this time. He didn't speak and tell the water or the winds to be still like he did in the other account. This time he's walking on it. See, sometimes the Lord will have to have us tread upon the challenge. We might be looking for the challenge to stop, and he might be saying, no, I just want you to walk on it. Because he said, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out in fear. Sometimes when God is moving, it can look troubling. Because we might not understand what he's doing in that moment. But Jesus told us to not let our hearts be troubled because he said we believe in God, believe in him. Believe in him, believe in his word. So we can't be troubled by the challenge nor how God is moving in the challenge. Because sometimes we can be troubled by how God is moving because we want him to move a certain way. We want him to eliminate or alleviate the pain or the pressure of the thing. instead of giving us instead of receiving the grace to be sufficient. Paul said he sought three times. We're like, God, remove it, God, remove it, God, remove it. And God is like, listen, I just want you to use the grace to operate in it and tread upon it. And so this is what he tells them, to take courage. We hear it again, take courage. He said, it is I, don't be afraid. Now, Jesus is doing something that they had no frame of reference for. That's why they thought it was a ghost. Nobody had ever walked on water before. But now Jesus is doing something no one else has done. And I will say to you that in the middle of your challenge, you might receive an invitation to do something that no one else has ever done before, that you might not even have a frame of reference for. You might be like, I haven't seen anyone do this. No one in my family has done this. I can't search a coach online who could tell me how to do this. So then Peter says to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. So in the middle of a challenge, one, we have to identify how God is moving. And then we posture ourselves to hear a word. Because Peter said, if it's you, command me. And then Jesus said, come. Sometimes we want God to give us a whole sentence and explain the why behind the challenge. When God is like, listen, we can have that conversation later because it don't matter. I just want to speak this one thing to you. Now, because he spoke the word come, now that word had enough power in it to cause Peter to be able to act on it and do something miraculous. Because it says, and Peter got out the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Now, listen, he heard a word and acted on it, and now something supernatural is happening that only Jesus has done. No one had walked on water before until they saw Jesus do it, and now nobody else had done it until Peter did it. And he was in the boat with other believers. But Peter was the one who acted on the word while the others were sitting there still. So in our challenges, we have a choice. We have a choice to act on the word once we discern how God is moving. And when we do, we see things change. But notice that the storm didn't change when Peter walked on the water. The wind and the waves were the exact same as they were before. What changed was Peter heard a word and he acted upon it. Because when faith is extended, grace is what? Released. Sometimes we're looking for God to change the outward circumstance for us. When he is requiring us to act on a word even before anything changes in the natural. It was the same storm. The waves were still beaten against the boat, but this time he steps out and begins to walk towards Jesus. Now, like I said earlier, there are times when God will have us speak to the storm, command it to be still. And there are other times when we have to just walk and tread on it, tread above it. And it says this, verse 30. But Peter, seeing the wind, he became frightened. Now, a lot of people say he took his eyes off Jesus, which is true. He saw the wind before. But this time he's seeing the wind, it became frightened. The New King James said the wind was boisterous. The word boisterous refers to forceful movement, loud sounds, making conditions feel wild. You ever felt like things were just loud? It was just so much noise, and it made you feel like you didn't have control of your life or what was going on. That's what it was like. But Peter looked at that, and it says he became frightened. Meaning his posture, his disposition changed. See, when Peter changed his focus, his posture changed, which then impacted how he was walking by faith, which then impacted the results. Because it says, seeing the wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." See, if we put our eyes on the challenge more than we see our focus on what God is doing, then it will potentially cause us to change our posture and even change the results. Because when Peter was focused on the word that God spoke, and on Jesus himself, he was walking on those same waves. The wind was still blowing. But when he started paying attention to the surroundings too much, he allowed those things to move him. And then he began to sink. So we have to be careful how we process the information that comes to us in the middle of a challenge. Because every time information comes, we need to be asking, okay, Lord, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know? Because information will try to push you out of posture. Revelation will push you into posture. The Classic Amplified of verse 30 says this. It says, he perceived and felt the strong wind. So his perception got shifted. How he perceived the thing shifted. In the course, he cried out. Jesus immediately stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" See, remember, challenges attack the soul, and believing is from the heart. And so that area of attack in the soul tries to produce doubt. Because remember, we read in Matthew chapter 11, it says that when we speak, we have to believe what we say is going to happen and not doubt in our heart, then it will happen. So sometimes doubt will come through just how we see things. Doubt will try to come, which is why we have to always see things in light of what God is saying and what God is doing. You guys receiving that? Let me read you one thing else, and then I'm going to remind you of the points from last week on how to access his grace. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 says this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, yet it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. Notice verse 24 says, hear them, act on them. The storm is going to come, but we must hear them and act on them. Verse 26 says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And it fell, and great was its fall. We see two differences of people who heard the word. Those who acted on it, it was compared to wise, and those who didn't were compared to someone who was foolish. The same storm came. Storms of life will come. It's inevitable. But what makes the difference between standing and falling is the acting on the word. We can quote all day, now to him who is able to keep me from falling. We can quote that scripture, but our cooperating with it is acting on what he said, because the overcoming grace and the keeping us from falling grace is in the acting on the word. Remember, when Peter acted upon the word come, he wasn't sinking until he started looking around. And so sometimes we can hear a word because faith come by hearing, which is good. But remember, faith without works is what? Dead. And I'm not talking about faith without toil, because some people would think toil and works are the same thing. Toil is when you're trying to make what God wants to happen out of your strength. Acts of faith is when you allow God to make it happen out of his strength and his grace. It's where you don't feel like you have to be doing something. It's, I'm only going to do what he tells me to do. That's why Peter didn't step out till the Lord said, come. You follow me? So here's how we operate and access this overcoming grace. Number one, we have to believe that the overcoming grace has already been released to us. Remember, the grace was already released before you faced the challenge. So you don't have to ask for it. You have to receive it. The scripture says we believe that we have received and we will have it. Then number two, we have to ask Holy Spirit, what is our response to the particular challenge we are facing? Remember, the strategy won't be the same for everything you deal with, every person you deal with. You might be dealing with multiple folks on your job, and he might tell you to do something, one thing for one person, but something different for somebody else. And then after, when we ask that question, we have to allow him to direct us into what we are to pray, what we are to decree, and how we're to exercise his authority that he's given us. And if you make a decree, if he leads you to make a decree, because it'll be by the Spirit of God, but you must find the scripture that coincides with it. Because God moves according to his word. And the power is in the word. Then number three, last week's number three was to speak to the challenge in faith without doubting. As we saw this week, we'll see number four, is to tread upon your challenge in faith without doubting. Tread upon the challenge in faith without doubting. Because stuff could still be happening all around you, but you have the ability to walk over it. Because the Lord said this, behold, I have given you power over every power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. He said we have the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Some stuff you just got to walk over and walk through. Amen. You receive that? Thank you, Lord.